Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. This podcast is being sponsored by Get Loopy. On episode 41, you can hear the story of Isabel, the co-founder and CEO. Get Loopy, get a 20% discount off your first order. GetLoopy.com. Take It From The Iron Woman. Again, we have a special guest here from LA, Jaime Cabrera, and we met through the Alt MBA. Welcome, Jaime. We just want to hear from you. Who is Jaime who is joining us today on the podcast?
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm typically on the other side of the microphone, so I appreciate that. My name is Jaime Cabrera. I'm a executive creative director currently for a marketing company in Los Angeles. We do a lot of big sports marketing and experiential as well. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my day-to-day job. I'm from Texas. I'm a musician. I moved to LA back in 1999 to pursue a music career. I recorded a few records, did some touring, got a little bit of airplay, but it never quite took off as I would have liked. But I still perform, and but all through that journey, I kept, you know, working in marketing and advertising on the side, and I've kind of worked my way up from a copywriter all the way up to an executive creative director where I am now. So that's sort of the career journey. I'm married with have a beautiful wife and two boys aged 9 and 11, and I live in Long Beach, California.
When you read your bio, it says chief rock star. It's never too late. Maybe that career will come on the side, or what is the plan for that?
Well, yeah, that's interesting because that's still in the back of my head. So right before, actually, it was right around when we started the Alt MBA as well, I had been wanting to start a song club, a songwriting challenge. This is something that exists within the songwriting community. Typically, it's a group of writers and they get together, and the way that it usually works is one person picks a theme or an idea, and everybody's got to write one song around that theme or use that lyric, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Before the quarantine, I said, I'm going to do it. I've been talking about this for a while. I haven't really written too many songs in the past couple of years. I want to get back into it. So I started that with a friend of mine. We've grown to about 13 different writers. Oh. We're doing it every week. We submit a song. Been a lot of fun. So I still think, you know, there's a potential maybe that somebody could cover those songs. But yeah, it's still part of who I am, and it's something that I can't really ignore, and it's still.
Now we're going to talk about the Alt MBA, and I know from Seth Godin, he says even if one person is listening to it, that's a success. So, and
that's right.
We all know from the Art of Possibility book, give yourself an A. So don't be so hard on yourself. And who can compose music?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I have taken that lesson to heart about success and how you measure that. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you. If one person listens to it, positive reaction, that is success. And that's a scale, right? But if you've ever played, and I tell this to young musicians who sometimes have asked for my advice, I'm like, forget about this idea of making it, because that no longer really exists anymore. If you get up and play somewhere and there was somebody there, or you got up and played somewhere and they paid you $10, you've made it. You just got to keep building on it. And if you're waiting for that magical moment where you think you've made it, it's probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I wish that I would have learned that lesson a lot earlier when I was still playing music, because I would have kept touring. Mm-hmm. I was going to make it somehow and be discovered and get signed to a huge record label and all that kind of stuff. And that just doesn't happen, you know, playing or whatever it is, keep writing, just keep going.
I think that's a very good advice in anything like writing, composing music, or success can have different facets. And when do we get discovered? It's like 8 billion people on this planet, and how many are famous. So, and what genre of music do you have? So maybe somebody's listening and you get discovered now.
That would be amazing. I call it kind of like a rootsy pop rock. So if you like bands like the Counting Crows, or something that has a good melody and it has real instruments, it's not very definitely rock and roll, drums, bass, guitar, organ. So it's good old-fashioned kind of rootsy rock.
You only need one record deal, right? Whatever that means. Let's just maybe talk a little bit about the alt MBA. So we can do that popcorn style, and you can say, like, what is the alt MBA? If you had to describe it to somebody, what did we do?
I changed my life. I mean, I think that it was one of the most powerful experiences that I've had. I mean, it truly, I did feel like I walked away from that a different person in a lot of different ways. And I've come out re-energized, creatively and strategically.
What did you take away? Can you give us a specific example? Like you said, strategic or creatively.
Yeah.
Is there something that you said, like, next week I can implement that, and you saw a difference in how you did it?
Yeah, I mean, the big part of it was just some of the big picture takeaways, this whole idea of trying to get past your fears. And I've known this, I was never able to really articulate it, but I've known that it's been fear in some way that's kept me from doing certain things, like the songwriting challenge or starting, a business or whatever it might be. People have all these fears that keep them from living up to their potential. So that's one of the big takeaways for me, was understanding that your brain is wired to try and protect you from getting hurt. And it's going to, there's a little voice inside your head that tries to convince you not to take risks and not to try something so that you don't get hurt. So that's one of the big takeaways. And then the other big takeaway is this idea of shipping, of getting things done and getting it out into the world. It's not always perfect, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But the idea is, if you don't ship it now, you're not going to ship it ever. So you got to get things out there. You got to expose your ideas and your thoughts out to the world and let people build on those ideas or give you feedback or, whatever it might be. But if you don't ship, if you don't send out that song, if you don't send out that project, or in my mind, all those things are examples of shipping, then you're never going to get anywhere. And then along the way, I learned a lot of tactical things about goal setting and planning, about different ways to think about business concepts. We spent a lot of time, as you remember, talking about how to receive and give feedback. That's what I really loved about it, that it was a lot of big ideas, big concepts, but also I walked away with a lot of tools and a lot of great books.
Which book was the one that inspired you the most?
Inspiration, I would say probably The War of Art was a great one. And mostly because it talked a lot about getting over the fear and about thinking about your creativity in a different way that allows you to be more free, which was really about thinking of your creativity almost as another being that is creative, so that you don't put so much pressure on yourself. It's this other entity that works alongside of you. So that one was really inspiring. And I think The Art of Possibility was also very inspiring. And the biggest thing that I took away from that book was right at the very beginning, is that everything in the world is invented. Everything had to start somewhere. That should never be an excuse for not doing something, right? Because every single thing, everything that you look around, was invented by somebody. Somebody had to have that initial idea and get it out there. I do imagine that I will turn to those books from time to time, whether it's when it's time to give feedback to my employees.
And talking about feedback, you, before we started the recording, you said you were a coach for your kids in soccer. Tell us a little bit about that. How can you learn from being a coach as a musician, as a writer, as a creative director?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that you can learn from any of those experiences. I mean, I think any experience that you have, if you think about it, you take away things that you can use in your everyday life. So I was a coach for my kids' soccer for a couple of years. And, probably the biggest takeaway that I took from there is learning how to communicate on different levels, right? So literally, you're going to get a much better result if you get down on one knee and be at eye level with the child to try and communicate with them about what they need to do, right? That's a lesson that you can take into any line of work. It's like, you got to get on the person's level, you know, physically or you know, literally, and see eye to eye with them. But it also taught me about patience for sure. And, and also that not everything is so serious, right? They're, the main goal was to let them go out there and have fun and learn about the sport and play the sport. That was, winning was secondary to having fun, learning the rules of the game, spending time with their friends, spending time outdoors. And so that was another lesson that you can also take anywhere in life. Sometimes we get so caught up and we take those serious things so seriously. And I sometimes say, guys, we're not curing cancer here. We're not curing COVID. We're trying to sell products and ideas and things. So, so that's a takeaway. But even from, I wrote a post on LinkedIn about the lessons that I learned from playing in rock and roll bands all my life, right? There's lessons that you take from it. And like one of those lessons is, if you don't practice, you're probably not going to be that great. So, you know, people often think that they don't understand why a big presentation that they did didn't go well. And it's like, well, did you practice? Did you, with purpose, did you actually go through and practice every part of the of the presentation, your transitions, you know, working with the equipment, everything? Did you do that? The other lesson is playing with people that are better than you. And that goes for anything in any, in sports, especially. If you play golf with somebody who's better than you, guess what? Your game's gonna get better. Same thing with music. If you play with somebody who's better than you, guess what? You're gonna get better. So not being afraid to surround yourself with people that are are better with you. So again, you know, I try to take bits and pieces of lessons here and there from everything that I do.
And I think one other thing that comes to my mind is you need to adapt. So you need to practice, otherwise you don't get better. But when I see musicians, sometimes they are put together into a band and every time it's different. So that there was also something that took away from the old NBA. Every week we had a different group. So you had to adapt to new people. In your work, you have different clients all the time or people come and go. So we always have to adapt. That's important too.
Yeah, absolutely. Adapting to the different people, but also even just adapting to circumstances. Analogy to music. If you're playing in a club and things are not going well, you're not connecting with the audience and you're following a set list, you know, because typically you want to try and prepare, make a nice set list of what the songs are. Sometimes you have to go like, this isn't working. We need an upbeat number or something. And you got to skip, or you got to say, hey guys, I know we didn't practice this one, but let's try this. Yep. So you have to adapt to the situation because if you don't, you're going to get stuck. So
what do you miss the most that you can't do at the moment?
I would say probably two things. I think, you know, going out to dinner with my family or friends, I definitely miss that. I'm a foodie and I love to eat. And I just think it's, you know, sharing, breaking bread with people is just a lot of fun. So that's definitely one. And then the other one I would have to say is just playing music, live music in front of people. And as I think about it now, I'm like, well, I don't know when that's going to come back, but I do miss that energy, because you do get a lot of, not only are you playing for people, but you're also playing with your bandmates who, in my case, have been my friends for, you know, 20 plus years. So I'm, you know, it's a friendship thing. It's a musical thing. It's a, you know, exchange with the audience. So I definitely miss that a lot.
Do you want to touch upon your Confessions of a Creative Director? That's something that you create in your man cave. How is that going with your podcast?
That's another thing that happened right around the time of the Alt-MBA and that I was inspired to just ship it, just to get it done. I had been thinking about this idea for a while, which is the idea that, that creative directors, we don't really have. Obviously, there's magazines that deal with advertising and they sometimes talk to creative directors. But in my mind, I couldn't think of a creative podcast where you could hear conversation and hear different approaches from creative directors. I booked my first guest, which is my old boss. And then I just did it. I said, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to get it done.
And one last question, because you ask everybody, what is your confession? So is there any confession you can make on my podcast?
A confession of a creative director. What would be my, I would probably say something about how difficult it is to work with certain clients that you can't convince them of how approach a topic or a campaign or an idea and how frustrating that can be and how that sometimes causes you to just, you start to tune the client out and you don't give your best work because you know that it's not going to be considered. So I would say that it's part confession, part warning to clients. You know, if you really want to get the best work out of your creative people, is you really have to take their advice and really go with their ideas and try them out, because chances are they'll be successful. And if you don't, you run the risk of the creative people just start giving you ideas that they know you're going to like and that you're going to approve. It's not going to give you good results. Let us be creative and let us do our job. And if you don't do that, is again, you start delivering stuff that you know that person is going to like on a personal level and that they're going to approve. But whether it makes a difference to their marketing or to their advertising, probably not.
Not questioning the status quo, right? So if the client wants to have always the same, that's fine. But you're not a disruptor, you're not challenging the status quo. And I think that should be the role of a creative director.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I hope somebody's listening. I think this is a very wise advice. So there are people who are creative directors, there are people who are doctors or people who are coaches. Let them do the best work. They pick that profession and they're passionate about it and they're here to help you. Creativity takes a long time. And we listened to that example of Picasso. Somebody said, draw something. And he said,
it only took you five minutes. And he said, no, it actually took me 30 years, 30 years, 6 months and 24 days and 5 minutes to do that. That is a great moment.
People forget that, and that you have such a vast portfolio that you bring, like the writing, the music, the alt MBA now, and all your experiences, that people really should listen to you rather than thinking they have a better idea.
Yes.
I think that's the truth, nothing but the truth. But thank you so much, Jaime, and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
How cool was that? He's a writer, he's a musician, he's a creative director and a podcaster, and we were working together on the Alt MBA. Many things in common, many things that we can do. What is your passion? What do you want to level up and what can you ship? Take it from the Iron Woman. Monday and Wednesday we have new episodes, and 20% off your first order. Get loopy.com. Plant-based bites. They're delicious. Don't miss out. Take it from the Iron Woman.